CliffCentral.com.
All right, so Ryan's very impressed with himself, and I think he deserves a round of applause. He put some Christmas music into the break.
Love
there.
It.
Yeah. Nice. So
I saw a Christmas hat on the clock.
I know, yes. There's Christmas stuff happening. It's all happening. And it's the time that you could start doing that stuff without feeling embarrassed. Those people who put up their Christmas decorations and trees in November, I have a problem with you. Mm. You're too eager, and you're going to burn out before you've hit your stride.
Yeah.
And Christmas will come and you'll be over it. So you've got to time it right. I've said this before. It may be very traditional. I don't know what this the origin of this is, but you must do 12 days before Christmas and 12 days after, and that's it.
Yes.
You so can. You can start with the music in like this. No, today. Today's the day you start.
With putting up the Christmas, because I think they're also the problem. In fact, they are the problem.
Well, because of course they are.
Like, just down the road from here, Sandton City started in October with this massive Christmas tree. And I'm just like, hebanan, like, stop. The year has not come to an end yet.
Absolutely.
So,
I saw Mahoshas on Oxford Road offering Christmas specials already.
As soon as they start wearing Christmas hats, I think it's on. That's it. They're such social barometers for us. They really are.
Oh, they come up every week on the show. It's like the Bajaj used to come up every week on the show. Ben still sends pictures on his Instagram to everybody of Bajajes when he sees them.
Every now and again,
I love it.
Iconic.
I'm so tempted. Yeah, I'm so tempted in traffic to take a picture. And sometimes you can't because it's like not a good idea to be on your phone while you're at the stop street or whatever. Yeah. But I see them all over, and the first thing I want to do for some bizarre reason is take a picture or a movie of the Bajaj.
Well, I mean, you see them in different places. You obviously see them struggling up hills. That's not a great, that's not a good time to take a photo of it.
No.
But then,
are they like on two-stroke engines, like a lawnmower?
I'm pretty sure they're still.
They must be, right?
It's like one of those Flintstones. I think the guy's still running underneath. But every now and again, when in the afternoon on the way home, I drive past the big glass Discovery building.
Mm.
And then the Bajaj will be at the... So it's this beautiful contrast between this amazing building, this feat of excellence, and then there's this Bajaj when the sun's kind of behind Currie Up Sandton Drive. So I've posted that particular picture a couple of times.
You need that. Yeah, that's a good one. That's
Can I just say... So I see them on the road.
Yeah.
And then like a few days ago, I was at the garage filling up, and right behind me is a Bajaj. I'm like, hey, man, these things put petrol.
What did you think they put in oil?
And then the petrol dealer is like, yes, like they come in here like every hour. I'm like, yo,
no, because they got like a 5 liter tank.
It's like you can fill them up with a Coke bottle.
I was like, I don't know what they were running on, but I did not think petrol. They just no.
I like the way St. P was almost insulted that it should be behind her at the petrol station.
Yeah, like don't you guys have your can't you, you know, like in Thailand when you ride around on the bike, you just stop on the side of the road and a guy gives you a bottle of petrol.
Yeah,
I was kind of hoping that would be their system.
I don't know why in my mind I didn't clock that it was petrol until that moment where I was like, oh yeah, you. Oh, this is a car. Go on. Like,
I always enjoy the look on the passenger's face because they're thinking, am I sitting in the back or am I sitting in the front?
And they're kind of halfway. You're not really sure, and it's embarrassing. Like nobody except, again, Lebang.
Of course.
Who doesn't mind taking a tuk-tuk some mornings.
Yeah, right? You see.
She's been dropped off here by a tuk-tuk a couple of times. But most people are a little bit embarrassed when a Bajaj picks them up.
I
still haven't got close to doing it.
Ed B says that's a 250cc single cylinder scooter engine, apparently.
Oh. Okay.
Runs on wound up elastics, says Matthew says, I swear Ben owns a Bajaj and is trying to hype them up before he gets exposed.
Nah.
No. No, I'm afraid.
Look, put it this way. It'd be really funny if someone gets a Bajaj, right? Because they're all yellow.
I sort of want to get one just as a...
But if someone puts a different color, like what if someone makes a white and blue with racing stripes?
We could so cheap and easy. We could do like a Cliff Central Bajaj easily. And I think it would be quite a... people would notice it. People are screaming out in the marketing world for a way to... I hate this term. Break through the clutter. Right? It's all you hear from these assholes in marketing. So if we bought a Bajaj and we made it like bright purple or something, it would stick out like a sore thumb. You would get way more attention than you should. In fact, I don't even know why we're debating this. We should just get someone in here and say, we'll do the branding.
Yes. And right? then the game is like spot that the or, judge, you know?
Or we done. Can let someone on the staff run this as a side hustle.
Hey, man, if we're talking money, then I'm Yakel Gareth. We can have this conversation offline.
Well, I just, hashtag brand the butt judge.
Yeah.
At then, B says, Gareth, I would contribute 500 Rand to your butt judge fund if you do it. You see, people are willing to spend.
But that's great. 500 Rand will be enough for a vinyl wrap of the whole thing.
Because it's about the size of a, you know,
it's like a suitcase,
toy.
Basically. Yeah.
There we go. Suitcase. That's beautiful. All right, a couple of things we need to look at. So here's something we always look for ways to improve your life. Mm-hmm. Eating a banana for dinner could be the key to a good night's sleep, according to a charity specializing in sleep support.
That's what he said.
The sleep charity has increased its top five tips to get better sleep in 2024 with a fruit consumption list making the most important spot. It says bananas in particular can help you drift off due to their high levels of magnesium and potassium, which help to relax muscles.
Okay. Yep.
That's why people do those Epsom salt baths,
yes,
by the way. It says bananas in particular are the best for this. They contain the amino acid tryptophan, which stimulates the production of brain calming hormones. Fruit also encourages the production of melatonin, which we know from Dr. Mark yesterday on the show, is a hormone that occurs naturally in the body and plays a big role in how well you sleep, your circadian rhythms. Grapes, tart cherries, and strawberries are the best sources of melatonin, according to a study published in a special issue of Antioxidants in Health and Disease. So maybe it works for you. You know, if you're not going to put your cat in an ozone tent that Ben is going to be bringing out shortly, or you're not going to be catching a lift in the bajaj with Simpiwe, then you can try potassium from a banana.
Yeah, and that whole thing of magnesium too definitely works.
And by the way, the I think bananas are one of the few sources of potassium that are readily available. That's why it's a good thing to keep some in your house. No. Sometimes if you're peckish just to have a banana,
yes, it
might be exactly what your body's craving. Potassium is hard to find in other fruit sources and food sources. But it's also the only fruit. This is something I remember. I may have mentioned it, I don't know, 10 or 12 times already on the show. It's the only fruit you could survive on if you only had that fruit.
And if you look at it this way, like I'm quite worried about all the pesticides and all the other crap that goes with stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Banana's in its own jacket.
That's right. That's right.
So there's
and you
less
discard
chance.
It.
Yes.
And the jacket's quite thick.
It's quite thick. So
it's not some piddly little skin on an apple that you rub on your on your pants.
I mean, I know that we get fed all kinds of poisons every single day.
Yes.
But I think a banana is a good enough bet with that.
Yes. And Neil says, my wife loves a banana at bedtime.
Here we go, Neil. Set up comedy. We're all doing it.
So George Meany has hopped in the comments. He'll be here on the show later. Because all the other cars would pass you in frustration if we get a bajaj. But that's the point, George. You have longer exposure on the roads because you're slower.
Absolutely.
You don't want a fast car. If we had a branded Ferrari, you'd hardly see it. Gone.
Yeah. Everyone's moving around you the whole time.
Yeah, especially if it's in Santon. Everyone, it's bajaj. Not a Ferrari, it's a Lamborghini. You know, we see them all
the
time.
And
like,
by the way,
darling,
George, we're still waiting for you. You said you would organize for us to at least see what it looks like on the inside of bajaj. And now today is his last appearance on the show. George is going on holiday. So 2024.
You know what it actually is, Gareth? I reckon bajaj are actually quite smug. So George can get any car, right?
He can.
I reckon they're like, this is George Meany for Auto Trader. Nah. We'll show him. Coming here thinking he can just waltz in and get a bajaj.
And they've actually...
No, they're going to say no to him. Don't you know that?
They've blacklisted him, is what you're
they're
saying.
They're probably so smug. They're like, nah, told you, there's demand for what we have here.
Right. Ruth says, oh, I have major insomnia. I'm willing to try banana. Well, everybody has to try banana once, you know? And JP says, I heard kiwis are also good for sleep.
Okay.
Kiwi fruit, I should
hope. Accents are terrible, though.
I met a kiwi girl the other day.
Really?
Yeah, she's a lawyer. And she's quite pretty. She was quite smart. I was quite impressed with her.
She wasn't Australian.
No, I said to her, what are you doing in South Africa? So she said, no, she decided to move here because it's quite fun. So I said, well, there's an interesting turnaround for the books. A lot of people in South Africa are trying to get to New Zealand, and New Zealanders are coming here. Guess what she does?
Well, she says she's
immigration law.
Yeah.
Immigration law, which is a big
So she's come here to extract,
business.
To help extract people out of it.
Well, this is, for her, this is what you call a target-rich environment then, right?
So she can't actually be. So she moves here because it's fun, and she can't actually be upset about the crime because that's what gives her business.
Yeah, she's basically funding the crime for all we know. She's like, oh, like a bit of crime.
Yeah.
It's feeding more business.
It's absolutely good for her business.
Good for her. All right. So George is trying to make excuses here. I think you've hit a nerve with George, Ben. They would give it to me, but they wanted to vet the content before publishing.
They wanted to vet the content.
So they obviously have a spin doctor inside the Bajaj business.
Yeah. I mean, George has been diplomatic here. I think I was right.
I think we just... How much are they? I mean, we should just buy one.
We can.
Honestly. It would be very handy.
We've already got 500 around in the comments.
You know what? Jane could take it to go and buy groceries.
No, whoa. It's a Bajaj. It's not a tank.
And I don't...
Let's not throw fire to the wind here.
Just be careful, you two. She's listening.
I love Osh. I really do. But I don't think that lady would love that thing at all. She'll just be like, are you trying to give me a Gareth? Like, she is definitely going to break that thing in 2 seconds. All right, she will, but it'd be
great content. Like, if Jerry Seinfeld can put people in sports cars and they drive around, which isn't that funny, Jane interviewing people in a Bajaj.
That would be the best show on the internet.
As long as she's not driving.
No, she has.
Because she's the type of... That'd be such a great show. Like, you say something wrong and Jane's just like, get out the car.
She would just drop you in the middle of like a dangerous hood.
She's just like, one mistake, she's get out. Like, no.
And shout at you as you walk away from the Bajaj. Listen, I think we've spoken about this more than any other single subject this whole year.
Yeah.
If it was like Cliff Central Rap... You'd have certain topics that come up.
Yeah, correct. Have you got your Spotify Wrapped this year yet?
I haven't actually
yet?
Opened it up. I was going to do it today.
I don't have Spotify.
It's going to be the same as last year. How do you not have Spotify?
I have it,
an
but
Apple product.
But I listen to most of my stuff on Apple.
That's like saying I don't like DVDs.
You made a playlist for me on Spotify, which I occasionally go to. But I haven't added anything to it. I've been very lazy and remiss about it.
You did, and I deleted those songs because the vibe wasn't right. I mean, we're trying to have fun here, and you're putting in like Depro 70s rock in the mix.
I must have been in a bad mood that day. I don't know. You deleted them?
Yes.
So much for a shared playlist.
Well, I mean, if you...
You didn't notice.
I didn't even notice, no.
It's like having a dinner party and someone rocks up with like pitted olives and like hummus. You're going to put that to the side. Come in here with your suggestions.
put it to the side.
Yeah, that's what I did in the interest of both of our moods.
Oh, man. All right, just quickly, because you're leaving just now.
I have to go, unfortunately. Yeah.
So you, I thought we'd exhausted all the possible lines of conversation around load shedding, but it suddenly came back this week with a vengeance, proving yet again that nobody there knows what they're doing.
Never have.
It's all totally made up on the spot. There's some guy who I think... blindfolds himself and throws darts at a dartboard and then decides to switch off and on according to whatever he scores on the dartboard. It seems that random. Like, you know, the idea of if you put enough monkeys at typewriters, eventually one of them will type out the works of Shakespeare. It might take thousands of years, but that's what they say, right?
Yeah, I've heard that before.
So it's the law of randomization or whatever it is. There's got to be some kind of randomization, entropy, weird... terminal, unstoppable, grinding to a halt of all thinking inside of ESCOM, because nobody seems to understand how this stuff happens. This week it was at, when we started the week, there was none.
Yes.
Then it jumped immediately to stage 6. Like no warning at all. That's like your husband in your 60s getting home from work with an erection and you're not prepared.
Exactly.
It's just completely unacceptable. You would at least expect him to take the Viagra and give you a couple of minutes to get ready.
No.
You know, as the wife, you just, all right. So they jumped to stage 6, then they went to 4, then back to 6. Then I got a message just now that it's jumped down to 3 or now it's at 2. I have no idea. I really don't know where we're at. And Ben has a question. I thought we talked about everything that was possible to talk about here, but he has a serious question.
I really do. Yeah. You know, because load shedding is about capacity, right?
Right.
They don't have capacity to support the demand. Mm. Therefore, we have shutdowns and these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But as South Africans, do you actually go about your day going, I'm going to use less electricity today. I'm going to turn that off. I'm going to not use things like I used to.
No. I have tried to save money. So I've done this one really... I feel a bit schnorrer about this because I'm not a miserly mean person. you know, like the stereotypical Scot or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, I do it with the waste money, that sort of thing. But I've got this timer because they put these timers on my geezers and it can be controlled on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So I could switch off and on the geezer as I like, and I can put a timer on it so it only goes on for an hour or two a day or whatever. Mm-hmm. Some people tell me it's a waste of time because starting it up is the most expensive thing, and if you switch it off and on, it's going to be more expensive. I don't know.
Mm.
I'm trying it. So I'm giving it a go, giving it a fair chance. I can control this on here, and I do try. Like, I'm trying to actively save on electricity, not because I care about Eskom and their supply issues, but because I want to reduce my consumption, so I pay less to these sons of bitches.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all.
But that's what it comes back to. Like, I reckon that's the only reason. It's not to help Eskom, but it's like, how do we actually use less? Because that's just a better way of living, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You would think so.
Potentially.
You would think so.
But then you think, what does that entail? Mm-hmm. Now, do you go and physically turn the thing off at the socket? Because that's a ball ache.
No.
Yes, I do that. I'm like, I'm not using this plug, so switch it off.
And at the wall. It's
at the
off.
Wall.
Okay.
But that's out of habit. It's
you're,
not even
okay,
like.
Okay, but you're wasting your time with a light, for example. It's not going to make a difference. There are two
but
things.
But it's just everything else that you plug
but
into.
Like 10 million people over a year with that light makes
sure,
a difference.
Sure, but that's a huge scale, and I don't think it makes even a blip on the radar when you do that.
So,
there are two things in your house that use an enormous amount of electricity. Maybe three. The first one being your geezers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, that's major, major power. And if you've got solar geezers, then that's already a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is your pool pump, if you have one of those. That's mm-hmm. that's yeah. big electricity. So if you leave that thing on and it's not on a timer, and I mean, I actually switch mine off at the switchboard
mm-hmm.
because that's easier than going out to the filter and switching it on and off the whole time. But that's a big one. And then the third one is like stoves and kettles and things, but those don't really come in because you don't leave them on the whole time.
Yeah. Well, like a fridge has to be on the whole time, right?
But I mean, yes. There's this famous story about how the queen, who had money for, you know, thousands of generations of her family, let alone she's got castles and palaces and things. The queen who died used to go around and switch off lights around the palace. Now, you could say that's very schnorrer. You know, it's a bit
also
mean.
Just gave her something to do.
Maybe it yeah. gave her something. Maybe she didn't have enough to do. Who knows? But she used to go around and switch things off. So it might not be the most stupid behavior.
Well.
If it's good enough for someone with a crown worth millions and millions of pounds.
That's all I'm saying.
Then who the hell are you to argue?
I mean,
switch
if we
off
can
those
make
lights.
Small differences. Like, I still think that recycling is mostly like that's a bit of a myth and a lie.
Well, here's Carl. He says, we replaced every light tube in the office from fluorescent to LED. Cost us 40K, not even our building. Huh. He does say it saved them 60% of their electricity bill. So that's good news. All right.
Yes.
Over and above load shitting, then the municipality app also crashed, so you couldn't even buy power if you tried, says Neil. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, like, that's
someone said in the comments just now, just before you go, Ben, they don't have Bajajas in Cape Town.
Ooh, are
Durant
they that
says there are no Bajajas in Cape Town.
Are they there? Are
yeah,
they?
But we spoke about this because it's windy there.
Well, they blow over. Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. All right, very good. George says, finally, you are saving 1.25 cents per hour per light bulb, to Garrett's point. Well, that's okay. That makes
a
bit of sense then.
Gotta switch it
makes
off.
Makes sense as in C-E-N-T-S.
Yeah, it makes sense over like a big scale. Again, it's
right.
just I'm curious.
Okay.
Just trying to be better.
Are you trying to do this?
I would like to think that there's maybe, because what's always going to be around? Dumb politicians and load shedding. These oaks aren't getting us out of here, unfortunately. So that's a constant. So,
sure.
So we can't control that, but what can we do to make them less an impact?
Mm.
As an adult, you always got to look at these equations.
Yeah, but people are definitely not going to go about it. Like, I'm trying to save planet Earth. No, I'm just trying to save a buck.
I'm not trying to save planet Earth or the buck, really. I just want to have less load shedding.
Well, Terrence says that I'm being an idiot because I stopped switching off the geezer. I haven't seen a difference in my electricity bill. So maybe it's a complete
waste. This is what we do as a community, right? This is what we do as people. We trial and error these
things.
All
right. Well, thanks, Ben. We'll see you next week. Have an excellent birthday tomorrow.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm going to.
Enjoy the stretching.
Yeah.
Enjoy the stretching and the golf. And then
wear something bright tomorrow.
The massage afterwards. Yeah, wear the clothes that those people in the 70s video wore.
I often wear lots of color.
Yeah, but like tomorrow, be intentional about it.
Okay.
Okay. Jesus, there's some solid advice from Simpy. She's not taking any prisoners. Thank you. Thank you. All right, cheers, Ben.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Ben.
All right, so we've had her on before, and she was a wild hit, a runaway hit with everybody in the audience. They wanted more. And I've kept her on hold for a long time because she's got like 23 children and she's super fucking busy. Yeah, she's got, she and LeBung have the most children of any women I've ever met in my own life. And I know that there used to be these women, I don't know, in medieval times, used to have like 10 kids and 20 kids. And I don't know, the kids will raise each other, they say.
Yeah.
But she's been a friend of mine since high school. And here she is. Catherine is on the line. Catherine, who we've had on before. How are you? How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Good, thank you. How are you guys doing?
Good. How many children are we at the moment? No more since we last spoke.
Heck no. I've closed the factory. I've surgically closed the factory. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm at 5.
And the youngest is how old?
She's 8.
Okay.
So and the oldest is 16.
No. Then they definitely...
So I was...
Yeah. That was a good 8 years of your life that...
I was pregnant... Yeah, it's more like 10. I was pregnant for about, I don't know, 48 months of my life. And the other day I went to the blood bank and they were like, why is there this big gap in your donation time, like a decade? And I said I was either pregnant or breastfeeding for like 10 years. I was a bovine for about a decade of my life. That's it. So
you're a factory for the children.
And also, just not for nothing, I've also wondered about this. You know, when you gestate a baby, you're basically making them out of ingredients from your body.
Yes.
Because I remember with my fifth child, the doctor said, she's a little underweight, but don't worry about it. And I said, should I maybe just eat more? And he gave me this old-fashioned look. And he said, that's not how that works. But it occurs to me, that's all skeleton systems. Like, I probably have bones like a bird. I should probably have that checked out. You know?
Yes, because the children have been parasitizing you for all of your life, your adult life. All right, so listen, I like getting you on here because you also, you bring up irritating shit that not just parents go through, but that everybody goes through. And I often get these messages from you which make me laugh, like voice notes about people who annoy you at work or things that are going on with the school moms and the groups that you're on, like those WhatsApp groups. Because I don't have any... personal experience of that stuff. So when I hear that like all the moms are in a WhatsApp group for the school, it gives me an instant headache and I can't imagine the kind of stupid nonsense that gets posted on there.
I'm telling you now, it is in the first place, you get some real nut jobs. I can only say that modern parenting is basically like a religion. And there are certain things now that are like a heresy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you know how through the year, and this is one thing I have to just add the disclaimer here, that I love my children very much. So whatever I'm about to say, just be aware that I love them.
Yeah.
And yeah. Also that I love and admire the hardworking teaching community. And I also very much love my husband and my in-laws. Okay. So whatever I'm about to say, please just bear that part in mind. So the one thing that really gets me is it starts to kind of unravel towards the end of the year. And let's be fair, we've all kind of had enough. I honestly feel as though we could have done like 3 weeks this year.
Yes.
I would have been perfectly happy if tomorrow was like Christmas Eve because and it's all kind of coming apart. And you see how your standards go down. You know, in the beginning of the year, you're packing lunchboxes with grapes and like beautiful, like little cheese sandwiches, all nicely cut in shapes and shit. This morning, I chucked an apple and like a packet of biscuits. I didn't even put them in the lunchboxes. I just chucked them into their bag. And then my kids get in the car and my youngest looks like she brushed her hair with a balloon. And my son looks like he went and rolled around in the road with his jacket. I'm like, when last did your jacket go in the wash? And he's like, I don't do that. I don't put my jacket in the wash. I'm like, I can tell. You look like something out of a Dickens novel. And it's fine. You just drop them for school. You don't even care what the teachers think at this stage. It's just, it's like, it's all kind of coming apart. And of course, there's all of these events. And this is where the WhatsApp groups come in.
Yeah.
Some flipping, proactive, upwardly mobile person decides they're going to organize a do. It's going to be a do at the school or a do for work or whatever. And now you've got to bring a plate of eats. Now, yeah. Among all the other shit you've got to try and get sorted out for the end of the year, now there's like four or five things. And, you know, in the old days, it was just called a plate of eats. You know, you went and bought some lamingtons or you made some sausage rolls or something and you bunged them on a plate and you rocked up with your bottle of wine. Now it's called a charcuterie board.
Oh,
so every year I had to learn how to pronounce charcuterie. And let me tell you something, that's not just a bunch of sausage rolls on a plate. No. Now I've got to go and like, Jesus. Now I've got to, basically my eyes pop out of my head as I figure out what the price of like Parmesan cheese is, or flipping, you know, I don't know, shaved ham, shaved ass ham. Now I've got to arrange it all beautifully. And I can't even put deviled eggs on there anymore because deviled eggs are the price of, I don't know, are they saffron flavored? And this is just one tiny thing that is going on right now in everybody's lives.
I don't even think you got charcuterie right there. I think you said char, but okay.
Right?
No.
Did I say char? Yeah, exactly.
You did.
I don't even. And why do we do it? Why do we do this?
Well,
why do we go to these functions?
Well, I'm always,
why do we tell people to just.
I'm always amazed by how much unnecessary competition parents of kids are involved in because of the school. And it's not the teacher's fault, it's the other parents. And they seem to be, it's their way of kind of gaming the system. It's like one-upmanship. It's like, well, I don't have a lot to live for, but if I can make other parents feel inadequate by creating some new hierarchy, I will get some tiny little bit of joy in my otherwise dreary and dull existence. And then they make these hoops that you have to jump through. I see it with everybody I know who's got kids. It's not just you.
I can tell you now, there's absolutely no question. And look, these are definitely, I don't want to say it's just the stay-at-home moms. Because you do, once again, get these A-type personalities. And I don't know how they do it. I love my sister, but she may be one of these people. She works full-time. She's also got five kids.
Jesus.
Oh. And she's like, putting together these incredible do's, and she always looks. And here's the other thing: when you go to these things, now you want to kind of dress in a way that makes you look less fat, even though you aren't less fat. And you want to look like you're succeeding in life. You don't want to look like you ugly cried all night in the laundry with a bottle of Niederberg Baron. So now you're slapping on makeup and you're trying to find some sort of appropriate outfit for these things.
Yeah.
And I think this is the other thing. It's other women. You're absolutely right. It's mainly other women who judge women, you know?
Yes.
And it's not, I mean, there are, I have a lot of supportive women in my life, but trust me, if I saw other people's kids look the way my kids did yesterday when they got out of the car, I would have been secretly judging.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can switch it off.
No. What you're saying is spot on. And listen, your credentials are you're one of my most left-wing friends. You know, I've known you a long time. You're very left-wing. You're very feminist. You're very into the kind of they-them stuff. I mean, you really do tick all of those boxes. So you're very 21st century in that way, or too progressive, or like a complete left-wing nutcase. All three, probably. But I think what people love is the fact that you can be honest about this. You did put the proviso up front about how you love your kids and you love your husband and all of that stuff, just in case someone's going to say, oh, well, she's a bad person. But I can't help referring to this thing that Simpiwe and I were talking about at the beginning of the show today, and I want to hear your comments on this, Catherine, is what Elon Musk said in that MSNBC interview. He's sick of people who are so desperate to look like they're good people, but they actually do evil things. And there's so many examples of that all around us every single day. Like these really nasty, competitive people who try to put everyone else down, who are doing truly awful things to each other, and then go on the internet and post like inspirational quotes. It drives me up the wall. I'm totally with him.
I've got it. This is one thing. And you know what? It's the small things. It's the small pettinesses. It's the passive aggressive stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like where a parent won't ask you why in the first place they won't get your opinion. A parent won't message you directly and say there was a scuffle and your child stood on my child's glasses.
Mm.
What they will do is they will go onto like a group chat.
Yes.
And like bring in like the headmaster or something and say, you need to replace my child's glasses. They costed 800 Rand. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, you know, there's a lot of this kind of small pieces. And at the same time, you sort of accept, okay, things cost money. Maybe my kid was a dick. I'm not always there.
Yeah.
And children are profoundly, like, they have underdeveloped prefrontal cortexes.
Mm-hmm.
So children do unbelievably stupid things.
Yes.
And they make unbelievably irrational decisions all the time. It doesn't matter. Like, you... Like, and you've got to keep contextualizing. They've got no critical thinking skills. So if you tell them, don't throw rocks, someone could get hurt, don't throw. You come out, and now your kid's throwing a rock. And you go, literally, I just spoke to you about this. And they'll go, this isn't a rock. This is quartz. Okay, don't throw quartz. You know, or like, literally, why are you licking the window? Why are you busy licking the window right now? I'm trying to at least look like a normal, well-adjusted mom here. And I'm in a meeting with the teacher and you're outside with your face squashed up along the glass. And this sort of crap happens all the time. So you're kind of, in a way, yes, to be fair, you want to show your best side. But for the most part, I think most parents... It's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of guilt involved in parenting. I think women get it a bit more than men, but, you know, men are more involved in parenting nowadays. So there's a, you're constantly questioning yourself. You're wondering, am I currently doing something that's going to fuck up my kid for life?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just told them that what they did was unbelievably stupid. Are they going to have a low self-esteem now as they grow up?
And work modern parenting. I mean, there are so many people telling you how to do your job. And there isn't a perfect guidebook that if you follow it from chapter 1 to chapter 10, you're just going to have the most brilliant children. It's a total random clusterfuck with every possible potential.
It is, and it's a genetic crapshoot, because your children are not little versions of you.
Yeah.
They have something like 850 genetic markers that come from your idiot ancestors, and not just yours, your partners. Yeah. Which means they, like, you have absolutely no control over the personality, the discipline, the habits, the tastes, anything. Yeah. That this little person is going to turn out to be. Literally all you can do is guide. But you're doing it under the spotlight of your siblings and your mom, your parents, your friends. You know what I mean? And you know what really augments that? What really, really, like, puts that under a microscope?
What?
Is if you go on holiday to your parents' house.
Oh. Mm.
So I have two things to say about this. I love my family. I'm very lucky. I hit the jackpot. I have really lovely in-laws. But I just want to state this for the record. Visiting family is not the same as a holiday.
Mm-mm.
I just want to make that 100% clear. And obviously, we're at this age now where our parents have moved to lovely locations. And it's cheaper, right? If you've got a parent who lives by the ocean, it makes a lot more sense to go down for your holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they want to see the grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
So it all seems perfect. It seems ideal. It isn't. It isn't ideal, and you mustn't do it. I want to tell every parent this Christmas, decide and do a staycation, go buy a box of today's sausage rolls, forget about the charcuterie board. Literally, and sit on the couch and drink sherry, listen to flipping Michael Bublé, whatever makes you happy, and throw Mari biscuits at the kids. And when they ask for Christmas, you know what you do? You go volume over matter. You go to the crazy store and you buy 20 little cheap things for each of them, and you wrap them up so that they can spend half an hour unwrapping them on Christmas morning, and you tell them, my gift to you this Christmas is the fact that you're still alive and that I got you through you.
I think this is the best parenting advice I've ever heard in my life. All right, so what about Christmas you've kind of covered, but birthday parties? Because these have become extravagant beyond belief. I have a friend who, this is someone they know, and I'm not trying to obfuscate this. If I knew this person, I promise you I'd mention them by name. But they did a gender reveal the other day, which was so expensive that apparently it costs something like 50,000 or 60,000 rand for a gender reveal.
Well, that's nothing. Okay. Gary.
Oh, is that nothing?
Well, that's nothing.
Okay. Well, I think that is the most outrageous waste of money ever.
I can completely believe this. And this goes in hand with the whole parenting being a religion now. And I 100% blame Pinterest.com. Oh. This is Pinterest.com's fault. And there's absolutely, and I'll tell you why, because Pinterest is this platform that shows you this ideal of what life should be like. So if you go into Pinterest, you type in gender reveal party, you're going to get curated photographs of what looks like the most incredible moment of everybody's life.
Yes.
And so what do? You go and shell out money to try and copy this perfect ideal thing. And it's the same with small children's parties. People are throwing parties for one-year-olds, and then they invite like all the adults for some reason. Like in my day, a children's party, and I know I'm sounding like an old person now.
No, but that's
fine. In my day, a children's party was, you went, there was cake, and you gorged on sweets.
Yes.
And you maybe had a swim or something. And you
syrupy drinks of many colors. Yes. And then you inevitably, like a fight, there would be someone would cry, and then everyone would go home.
And somebody wanted to take their toy away. Yes, you had your yanni for yarsup.
Yeah.
And you would eat until you felt literally sick. And you had to stock up because
and
you
knew
you weren't going to
be
able to acquire
sweets. There'd be sweet vomit.
Oh, yes. Oh. Yeah, anyway, nowadays it's like bunting. We're talking about, it looks like a wedding setting, man. It's bunting all over the place. There's a color scheme. I fell prey to this. And when I only had two kids, I had the time and energy and bandwidth to like create, you know, color-coded birthday parties and things. And I don't understand why, for some reason now, maybe it's because I have more friends, middle-aged friends who don't have children. So it feels as though inviting them to the kids' party is sort of your way of letting them into this sort of family atmos or something. But for the most part, you're almost spending more money on wine and adult treats. My favorite was an invite I saw from some people who'd obviously had enough. That obviously had the shits and they'd had enough. And on this invite, it said, parents may come, but please bring your own cooler box. I'm not feeding children's parents. And I looked at this was written on the invitation. And that was a bit hard. I said, well, at the very least, have like a pot of tea and a milk tart or something, man. But that is, now you're sitting and you have to entertain these randos for like the 2 hours. Well, why is that necessary? Once a kid turns 7 or 8, you do not have to sit at a party with him anymore.
Yeah.
They're certainly not going
to
care.
And also, these are not people you've chosen to be friends with. They are your children's friends' parents. That's too many degrees of separation for you to have to cater for them.
I once met, and it was at sort of a party. It was a kind of a play date thing, but the kids were quite a bit older. They were 11 and 12 or something.
Mm.
And my kids had organized that their kids come over. So this woman drops them off. She's the mother. She comes into the house. Like, I hadn't expected her to stay. She stayed for the next 3 hours.
3 years.
She went around. It felt like 3 years. She went around the house and, like, inspected it. And then she kind of sat me down, and she started asking questions about, like, you know, why do these kids share rooms? And literally it turned out that her daughter had given her the impression that I was, like, this weirdo hoarder mom type.
Oh, Jesus.
And this woman had created the impression in her mind that she was going to come and like save my children. And the more we talked, the more she realized that I was a well-adjusted person, but like she wouldn't give it up. So she's sitting there and she's going, you know, I really hate when mothers don't put decent nutritious food in their children's lunch boxes. You know, they put in things like pizza slices and muffins, which was exactly what I put in their lunch boxes that week. And I remember sort of sitting there and I was like, and it was all I could do not to basically grab this woman by the scruff and physically, like, you know, kick her ass out of my house. But it was astonishing. It was really, and I realized, and I said, this is the other issue. Not that I'm taking interviews anymore now at this late stage in life, but how do parents make friends? Because your children's friends' parents might be weirdos.
Yeah.
You don't know. You don't know them.
No.
And you... unless you're still in that stage of your life where you're going out and hanging around in, what, pubs? Does anybody even bother going to clubs anymore?
No, I don't think there are any.
You're kind of, this is the thing. So you're kind of stuck with the 5 or 6 friends you made in your 20s, and that's it.
Shame. This is now. Shall I bring out the violins now, or do you want to keep them for later?
Oh, my little violin. No, but to be fair, no, I have to say, it has been an unbelievable. I do not know a single person who hasn't said that at some point in this year it's been a little bit garbage fiery.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's the load shedding.
I was talking to someone just yesterday about the same thing. Load shedding's part of it, but I think this has just been a bit of a meh year for most people. Mm-hmm. And there's no escaping it. Like someone said to me they actually preferred 2020 with all of that COVID nonsense and, you know, restrictions like we've never had before, and you know, people spinning out and losing their mental acuity and all that stuff. But in some ways, this has been a bit worse because the adjustment has been so difficult. At least COVID and 2020 was like an adventure. It was totally new.
This is exactly the thing. And I think the fact that our lives are never going to be the same.
No.
Once again, children underdeveloped prefrontal cortexes. Because in COVID, everything was all over the place and the kids were swimming every day, I didn't prioritize things like showering and bathing because we were all at home and they were swimming every day. The result is, this is like, what, we're 2 years later where I'm having to tell a kid, like, I have to tell them, have you showered today? And they go, I showered yesterday. And me going,
oh boy.
Yeah, that's like a daily thing. Literally, this is news to them. How is this news to them? I don't know how to explain it. And this is, once again, I think it's actually a collection of things that parents have to deal with. We're not even going to talk about the sort of financial strain on the fact that you start doing December maths, which is you're like, okay, if I take like a third of my December salary and spend it on Christmas stuff, it'll be okay because I'm going to be like dieting in January. So I can spend less money on food in January. Like, and you're like, okay.
December maths.
Also now you're paying. Yes, you're paying all of these registration fees and stuff now in November. So there's no chance in hell that you're going to manage to cover December with your November salary.
So JP says, I'm so keen to have children now. All right, but tell me about this, because it's something I asked Lebang the other day, and she's got five kids. So do you ever have a situation where, and you, as a mother, my mother never admitted it, but I have a suspicion that my brother, who's the middle child, is her favorite. you got to be really careful about that, though. Giving them all equal attention, and they're all different, so you have to look after all of them in a different way. I mean, so Piwa, you stay with us here. I know you don't have kids on the agenda for a while, but stay with us.
I can tell you one thing for sure. I really believe that the second born is almost always the favorite. I know for a fact my sister is.
Really?
Because they're such, they're just, so, well, I'm saying I know for a fact. It's never been admitted. But let's be honest, Gareth, we know. I think what it comes down to is the fact that they're less effort for your parents. You know what I mean? Any child at any stage in time that is my favorite, and it does rotate. I want to mention this.
Yeah.
If they ask who's the favorite, I'll say, I give you guys turns. And honestly, it is the child who is the least effort. It's the one who's giving me the least crap at any given time. That one's my favorite. So if I ask them, please go feed the dogs, and they go do that, that one's my favorite. Look at that A-type. Look at that little proactive kid over there. You know what? If you're whining and you keep coming to me and you're a little snitch and there's just nonstop asking for money and stuff, you're not going to be my favorite. And I know I was quite a drama llama as a teenager. I'm 100% sure I wasn't the favorite.
This is like you should do a parenting show every week here. I mean, I think that there would be like we could get like Baby City to sponsor it. I think it would be a huge success because I'm just looking at the comments here and people are like, oh, thank God, finally a mother who's honest. That's great.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, we've got George Meany on the line. George joins us every single week, and he is here, the CEO of Auto Trader. I believe you're going on holiday next week.
Hello, everybody. And I'm not going on holiday next week. I'm going to the COP28 summit in Dubai for the week. And then after that, I'm on holiday.
Very nice, George.
Not going to any boring, unnecessary kids' parties, unfortunately.
Well, I mean,
maybe Dubai will be, you know, I don't know how many kids are going to be on the airplane, because have you ever been on an airplane with a screaming kid?
And apparently, you know what the worst is? I was sitting next to a screaming kid a few years ago, and I asked them to please move me, and they said, you can't move away from your own child.
All right. Well, George, I mean, you're also a parent, George. Is Catherine not one of the most honest parents you've ever heard in your life?
Absolutely the most honest parent I've heard in my life. But Catherine, you have another challenge, and that is you've got more than one.
So George knows cars like the back of his hand, and he was talking to us the other day about like what the best people carriers are. When you have five children to drop at school and you have five children to take everywhere, plus their friends sometimes, you can only really have a quantum.
Thank you.
Right?
You buy a sports car and you tell the rest to walk.
Yes, or cycle.
Yeah,
you know, we
I used to ride bicycle to school when I was 13 years old. Yeah. Where's that heard of today?
This is the one thing. The only reason I still have lovely looking legs is because I cycled to school and back in high school. That is the only reason, because I was certainly not sporty.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting, though, and I'd like your take on this. We have a family of seven, obviously. So we have a seven-seater Mahindra.
Jesus.
Which is obviously made in India. It's made for bigger families.
Yeah.
And the joy about Mahindra is it's made for rough, like weird terrain. And you can basically fix it with a stocking and a piece of string. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's the way to go. Like, don't blow money on a Porsche SUV, please. Because that's not, they will destroy the interior of your car also. So just accept that from the start.
Exactly.
All right, so George, what do you got for us this morning?
Yes.
Well, and maybe a mom car can do this, but the world's highest mileage car.
Yes.
Guess how many kilometers this car has done. It was a Volvo P1800 in 1966. You won't believe the mileage that this car did.
Can you do over a million kilometers?
I was going to say like
about apparently.
What?
Jesus, that's quite something.
5.1 million kilometers. So you were on the right track.
5.1 million. Where did they go to? Did they go from Cape Town to South Korea?
Thank you.
20 times.
So this gentleman's name was Irv Gordon, and he bought a Volvo P1800 in 1966. In the first weekend that he had the car, he clocked up 2,414 kilometers. And over the lifetime of having the car, 5.1 million kilometers, he's only ever had two bad experiences with the car, and he's refurbished the engine once.
Yo.
Good Lord. Okay. All right, listen, Catherine, you got to go and do a bunch of things. So I'm going to let you hop off. We'll get you on again soon. People loved it, and thanks for joining us. And have a happy December.
Thank you, and you too. Avoid the December maths.
Yes.
Bye.
There we go. Some solid advice. So, George, do we have a picture of this car? Do we have a picture of the owner?
I think, in fact, we do.
Is it the red? Is it the red car?
A red car, yeah. That red sports Volvo.
Wow. Okay, but that's actually quite a cool car. I thought it would be some horrible utilitarian thing with, I don't know, a really bad interior. I mean, this looks like quite a cute car. I think this is exciting.
It just shows you what can be done if you actually look after a car, because this gentleman was pedantic about his car and clocked up 5.1 million kilometers.
I like him and I like his car. That's very good. Very, very good. George, someone in the comments wants to know, are you by any chance taking a private jet to get to COP28?
No, I'm not part of the cabinet. Okay. Unfortunately.
Yeah, well, because most of those politicians, of the politicians who are going to COP28 will, of course, be complete hypocrites. So we're just checking that you're not.
No. I'll be flying with the rest of the dogs and cats.
That's okay. All right, don't sound so downcast about it, George. I mean, one day you'll be able to use your private jet. Okay, let's just talk about some other stuff that's going on before we get to our quiz, which I know Simpiwe is very, very excited about this morning. It's her chance to win. But what else is going on?
So world's biggest car contains an entire apartment.
No.
So this is a Hummer H1.
Wow.
World's biggest car.
Okay.
It actually drives. So I think you do have a picture of it there, yes, Gareth. Hummer H1.
No, but and, George, this doesn't fit on a road because this is an abnormal vehicle, right? So it would take up both lanes, probably even more than both lanes on most roads.
Sure.
Yes, it would. I mean, it wasn't designed to drive every day, although it can. It was designed as an apartment. So this couple is so much into their Hummer that they decided to turn it into a place to live.
And George, this is not a car you could buy on Auto Trader. This is a specially made, specially designed custom thing. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Correct. Yeah. Well, there's a picture of an actual Hummer versus the built one.
I mean, who knows? They might, if they did want to sell it, they'd probably go to Auto Trader with it. But for the purposes of our discussion here, this is an enormous, enormous car. So you say there's an apartment in there?
Sure.
There's an apartment in there. One tire on this car costs 470,000 rand.
So that's
someone's bond.
One tire.
It's not for poor people.
You see that big tire?
Yeah.
No.
Is this the engine? This is the control panel at the front of the car. This is the cockpit, so to speak.
That's the cockpit, so to speak, and that's where you drive the car.
Wow. Okay, I'm blown away. I didn't even know this was possible. That's all the space inside it. I mean, it does look like an apartment, and not a great apartment, but it does look like one inside.
Yeah, it's got a kitchen. It's got a lounge. It's got a sleeping area. Top speed of 32 kilometers per hour. And in order to move that monstrosity, has to output 1,000 horsepower.
So I reckon fuel's probably pretty expensive too. To fill up your tank, it's probably a couple of buses full of fuel.
And I'm pretty sure you've got to get some abnormal load permission to even put that thing on the road.
Definitely. Definitely. You'd need one of those cars in front with the light flashing on its roof.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez,
the one that everybody kind of ignores, but that thing can drive straight over you.
You've blown my mind and Simpiwe's. Now we've got to really hit it rich so we can buy an apartment on wheels. I like it.
Yeah, man.
Or one tire.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, exactly. I couldn't even afford that one tire at the moment.
Okay, so we get on to trivia. I've made the trivia slightly different this week to keep it a little bit interesting. It's fastest fingers first, and it is true or false.
Yes, let's go.
Okay, I'm ready.
So let's go. True or false? The Ford Mustang was first introduced in 1962.
True.
False.
True is the answer, yes. True or false? The electric cars use gasoline as their primary fuel source.
False.
False. There we go.
Thank you. 2 points to me. Let's just make it clear. All right. Yes, go ahead.
The Lamborghini company originally started by manufacturing tractors.
True.
True. Yes, Mbibi, there we go. One for you. True or false? The first mass-produced car was the Ford Model T.
True.
False.
True. Yes.
Oh.
True or false? ABS, anti-locking braking system, helps prevent skidding during sudden braking.
I'm going to say true.
True, yes, the answer is true. True or false, Bugatti Veyron held the title of the world's fastest production car.
I don't think so, false.
True.
True, yes, the answer is true. True or false?
NASCAR's 5-1 so far. Hold on. 5-1. 5-1. She can't catch up, right?
Hey,
let's go.
Well, I've got four more questions.
Let's go. Let's go.
Okay.
George, let's go. Don't listen to Gareth.
True or false? NASCAR stands for the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing.
True.
True, yes. True or false? The hybrid Toyota Prius was first introduced in the 1990s.
True.
Yeah.
Well, should we give that one to Simpiwe? Because the answer is false.
Okay, give it to Simpiwe.
Why not? True or false? Four-wheel drive, 4WD, and all-wheel drive, AWD, are the same thing.
Mm-mm. That's false, I think.
False is the right answer. And then final question, the Porsche 911 is a rear-engined sports car.
True?
No.
Is it not?
True. Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. I'm still in the game.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it's not embarrassing. So As I read it, Simperia got 4. I got 5.
Thank you.
6. I got 6.
I like this one. Thank you, George. Yes.
All right. So, George, you'll tell us what happens at the COP 28 conference. Mm-hmm. And good luck for that. Good luck for your holiday. But I suppose we'll catch up with you in the new year.
We will. I am moderating one panel on electrification, and I am on two other panels on, mostly around EVs, obviously.
That's fantastic. Good. Represent.
I will indeed.
I love it. All right, George. Very, very impressive. And thank you very much for a great year, and we'll see you in January.
Travel safe.
Cheers, everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. And whatever you do, do it safely.
There we go. Sanele says, have fun, Borge. There we go. Excellent. All right, there he is, George Meany. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Mm-hmm. And the first day of December is well underway. Make sure you make it a month to count.
Yes.
And we will see you on Monday. Be good. Cheers, everybody. Bye-bye.
Cliffcentral.com.